Welcome to the weekly podcast of That Mom, featuring homeschooling mom, grandmother, and award-winning speaker, Karen Campbell. Join us today as we hear real words of encouragement and hope for homeschooling moms from That Mom.
Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because His compassions do not fail. They are new every morning. Lord, great is your faithfulness.
We just successfully celebrated one more Mother's Day. Some of you have already bathed in bubbles, skyrocketed your blood sugar with pecan turtles, and are still brushing the toast crumbs under the pillows on your bed. They rose up and called you blessed, and you are still cleaning up from the uprising. In the afterglow of our special day, I have done a lot of thinking about this next generation of homeschoolers. Not only the children who are reading and writing and preparing to take on the world, thanks to Mom, but the moms themselves and what tremendous commitment and perseverance it takes to raise and teach children, all the while keeping laundry at bay, hungry tummies fed, and a household running on time and budget. I have pondered what we can learn from great moms of the past that we can apply to our daily lives. I am intrigued by what lessons the pages of history can hold for moms and what we can learn about raising men and women of character by examining their lives. Abraham Lincoln once said, "All I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." George Washington had this to say about his mom: "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." The early church father Augustine is quoted saying this about his beloved mother Monica: "While I was yet walking in sin, often attempting to rise and sinking still deeper, my dear mother, in vigorous hope, persisted in earnest prayer for me. With floods of tears, she persisted in her request." To paraphrase American poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, lives of great moms all remind us we can make our lives sublime and, departing, leave behind us footprints on the sands of time. Well, today I'm going to talk about another amazing mom in history, actually the mother of my favorite American president, and offer to you a few insights I have had as I've looked under the microscope at her life as a homeschooling mother. We will see how she did indeed leave footprints on the sands of time by her commitment to the Word of God, to her children, and to their education. Abigail Smith Adams was born in Weymouth, Massachusetts in 1744, the daughter of Elizabeth Quincy Smith, who came from one of the oldest and most prominent families of the area, and Reverend William Smith, a Congregationalist pastor and also from a quite prestigious upbringing. Reverend Smith was so beloved that he served the same congregation for 45 years, his ability to wisely counsel families being well known throughout the town. The Smith home was known to be the center of intellectual life, and the pastor's library was open to all those who wanted to participate in furthering their study. He often hosted families to share what they were learning in their readings of great works of literature and history, and he included his own three daughters and son in these evenings. During this time, women were ordinarily trained in domestic matters and were taught to read, write, and to do simple sums, but they were rarely instructed in matters of higher education. They often were placed in what were called dame's schools, which were similar to our modern daycare centers, the only option for a girl to learn advanced subjects being if she stood outside a schoolhouse listening through the windows to the boys' lessons. This was not so in the Smith household. Recognizing that each of his daughters had what he called an uncommon force of intellect, Pastor Smith educated them at home, giving them an educational equivalent of his son. Their own mother was an exceptional teacher, training them in all the advanced disciplines along with weaving, sewing, cooking, and instruction in running a household. Abigail, The spunkiest and most determined of the group was a favorite of her grandmother Quincy. She described this dear older woman as an oracle of wisdom, and that she had a happy method of mixing instruction and amusement, as she took on much of Abigail's training herself. Being encouraged to use the family library to its fullest extent, and to read whatever struck her fancy, Abigail found herself frequently in this well-prepared room, absorbed in the ancient classics from Homer to Cicero, reading contemporary works on politics and theology. She had the equivalent education of any college-educated young man of the day, and more so than nearly any other young woman. As the Smith girls grew older, they were encouraged to not only listen during the evenings when literary discussions were held, but to participate as well. And Abigail, being so well learned, could hold her own during lively debates. She would often visit with her aunt and uncle in Boston, and it was during those visits that she met a young attorney named John Adams. The first time they met, Adams would later write, he was anything but impressed with Abigail or her two sisters. Not spending any time really talking to them, they struck him as much like the usual women of his day, quiet, coy, and devoid of opinion. However, upon meeting Abigail a couple years later, he happened to speak with her and was quite taken with her intellect and ability to converse with him on subjects he felt passionately about. John began to bring Abigail books he thought she would enjoy, and their courtship was a meeting of minds and hearts. In October of 1764, Abigail Smith, then barely 20 years of age, and John Adams, 28, were married by her pastor father. John had inherited a home and a 10-acre farm, and so the two of them set up housekeeping in the country while John continued his thriving law practice, which he ran from their home. Toward the end of their first year of marriage, their first child, Nabby, was born. But while a baby brought about the expected changes in their little family, even greater changes were taking place in the country they so loved. Living so close to Boston, they couldn't help but be caught up in the discussions of the time, and, along with his cousin Samuel Adams, John soon formed the Sons of Liberty, a secret organization of American patriots the British considered to be seditious rebels. Later, he helped organize the committees of correspondence, men who were committed to seeing that the reports of the actions of the British were spread throughout all communities, so that the citizens could be informed of activities that affected them. He began speaking at town meetings, gaining a following and a reputation for being a firebrand. A vision for a United States of America from 13 small colonies incited both John and Abigail, both of them agreeing that John's travels on behalf of this vision were necessary. Often gone for long weeks at a time, Abigail was left to manage every aspect of the family farm and to care for and educate her small children, including their son John Quincy, who would one day not only become the 6th President of the United States, but also a tireless and unyielding man tremendously used of God to eventually tear down the institution of slavery in the United States. As I researched and read about Abigail Adams, I kept finding myself jotting down notes that spoke to me about the kind of homeschooling mother she was and the kind of home and marriage that Adams shared that I believe prepared their son to be a productive and courageous disciple who was used in kingdom work. Let me share some of my notes with you. First of all, Abigail learned to persevere through trials and sufferings, keeping the big picture always before her. During the long days, weeks, and months that John was away from home, Abigail was responsible for keeping the family fed and cared for. The 10 acres of farmland provided ample room for growing crops and raising livestock to care for John, Abigail, their 5 children, and the servants who worked for them. Abigail managed the budget, did all of the bookwork herself, taught the children their schoolwork, and participated in commerce, buying and selling as necessary. Having a house full of preschoolers in the early years, she learned to manage her time and resources. As was common during that day, she also experienced the death of their daughter Susanna before her first birthday. Abigail also cared for her ailing parents who lived nearby and spent many lonely nights after the little ones were in bed, longing to be with her husband. Yet through all of her struggles, her husband's dreams for America were her dreams as well. Always before her was the big picture of what they were hoping to accomplish, knowing they were working for a heritage to pass along to their children, and that kept her from giving in to discouragement. In fact, she recognized that the difficulties were required in order for them to accomplish good, and at one point she wrote to her husband, "The habits of a vigorous mind are formed in contending with difficulties." Secondly, Abigail made the study of the Word of God a top priority, and her children were forever grateful for that discipline. John Quincy Adams, upon reflecting on his time at home, recalled that his mother and father taught him to study and to rely on the Word of God, and attributed his own discipline in this area to their example and guidance. He would later share that the hour a day he spent in the Bible every morning when first rising, and the second hour he spent meditating on what he had read, was the result of his parents' example and teaching, and that their commitment to seeing the Bible as the American political textbook inspired him to face the issue of slavery without reserve. He would later observe that so well did his mother commit the Bible to his heart that it became for him both compass and anchor in a long life of service. Abigail knew that after training her children in Scripture, she needed to also do whatever she could to instill godly character in their lives. Committed to what she called Christian principles and Christian character, Abigail once wrote this to her son: "The most amiable and useful disposition in a young mind is quietness and reserve of itself, and this should lead you to seek advice and instruction from your father, who will always counsel and direct you in the best manner, both for your present and future happiness. You are in possession of a naturally good understanding and spirits unbroken by adversity and untamed with care. Improve your understanding by acquiring useful knowledge and virtue, such as will render you an ornament to society, an honor to your country, and a blessing to your parents. Great learning and superior abilities, should you ever possess them, will be of little value and small estimation unless virtue, honor, truth, and integrity are added to them. Adhere to these religious sentiments and principles which were early instilled into your mind, and remember that you are accountable to your Maker for all your words and actions. The inadvertency and heedlessness of youth require line upon line, precept upon precept, and when enforced by the joint efforts of both parents, will, I hope, have a due influence upon your conduct. For dear as you are to me, I would much rather you should have found your grave in the ocean you have crossed, or that any untimely death crop you in your infant years, than to see you an immoral, profligate, or graceless child." As her family had done as she was growing up, once she was a wife and mother, Abigail opened her home and table to those who would expose her children to great thoughts and ideas. Considering who their peers might have been, imagine the incredible minds that directly influenced her children as they discussed philosophies and ideas with her husband, the writer of the Constitution. At the end of his term as President of the United States, John Quincy Adams served for 17 years as a congressman, spending much of that time arguing for the abolition of slavery. I can only imagine him as a young man sitting around Abigail's dinner table, following a lively discussion among founding fathers whose hearts beat with the drumbeat of freedom. How his own heart must have been stirred by those memories as he fought freedom for all, even to his very death. Abigail Adams' hospitality and wisdom to include her son was tilling the ground and planting the seeds that God would later use in the harvest of remarkable fruit for generations to come. Remembering these times, he once noted, "If your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more, then you are a leader." Abigail used every opportunity to teach her children, especially in the midst of world events as they unfolded around her. One afternoon, Abigail could hear the roar of cannon fire in the distance. She was aware that the fighting had moved into Boston, so she gathered her children and took them to the top of a hill overlooking the town, all of them watching intently together as a major skirmish was taking place. It wasn't until a few days later that she realized that they had witnessed the Battle of Breeds and Bunker Hills, where the Minutemen were defeated. The memory of that teachable moment would forever be with young John, as he often recalled as an older man, watching American history take place right before his very eyes. Remembering the sacrifices made that day in the face of defeat, he would observe, "Duty is ours, but the results are God's." Abigail taught her children love of country and the need for self-sacrifice. John tells the story of Abigail's willingness to even give up her household pewter and silver for the war effort. He wrote, "I well recollect going into the kitchen and seeing some of the men engaged in running these spoons into bullets for the use of the troops. Do you wonder that a boy of 7 years of age who witnessed this scene should be a patriot?" Later, when the war effort needed all able-bodied men, Abigail rose to the occasion and worked in the fields, planting, tending, and harvesting crops in order to free the men to go to war. Alongside her were her children, learning the importance of physical work and the value of sacrifice for the greater good. As families needed to flee their homes as battles pressed in on them, Abigail often took in strangers as they passed through her town and needed a place to stay. She fed them, offering whatever she had to help them along their way. Next week, I will continue with part two of the story of Abigail Adams, homeschooling mom.
That Mom is produced and recorded by Clay and Karen Campbell in Canton, Illinois. Music was written and recorded by Ben Campbell and Lon Eldridge. All content copyright Karen Campbell, 2009.